there who will give messages, and the messages will do everything. Actually, the messages are very just a small part of the entire weekend. We all together are laboring for these dear sixth graders. And what is our burden this weekend? Well, this coming weekend. Our burden is anyone who is not yet saved would be saved. Amen. Our burden is that these ones would be clear concerning their salvation. There may be some who they have already prayed to receive the Lord, but they may not be so clear about what they received. Or they may not be so clear that they are saved. So we're going there. Any that are not saved, they would be saved. All who go would become clear that they are saved. And if there are any who are going that are saved and they're already clear that they're saved, then they probably don't understand fully all that they have been saved into. Right? So it would help them to further their understanding of what they have been saved into for the sake of their going on and their experience. Because our heart is not just a one-time experience in sixth grade with the Lord, but that this would be the beginning for the rest of their days. They would know the Lord, they would enjoy the Lord, and they would be in the church life. In fact, this is the first conference that they get to go to. How many here are parents? Oh, wow, good number, wonderful. And actually, I'm a parent, I'll have a sixth grader there too. How many serving ones? So, yeah, okay, well, no, I mean, how many of you are serving ones? Meaning you're not going because you're a parent, but you're going as a serving one, right? It's good, it's very good. Well, I think those of us that serve with the children and have children of our own, they're watching the kids ahead of them. They see them going to the conferences, and they can't wait. They can't wait to their first conference. And this is the beginning, right? The first of many. After the sixth grade conference, there's going to be all the junior high conferences and the high school conferences. So really, this is just the beginning, and we want this to be the best experience, so that they would just want to keep going again and again to every conference. Because every time they go, every time they get up there, it gives the Lord the opportunity to do something in them. And we also seize the opportunity to deposit a little more in each one. So we can't do everything, the Lord can't do everything in one weekend. But surely each time they would go, there could be a little more deposit in each one. So this is Roman numeral 1. Our burden is that our young people need a solid deposit every time they come together. The conferences are a tremendous opportunity for infusing them with the truth in God's economy. That's right. They'll have the conferences. They'll have the summer school of truth. I hope this just becomes the norm. This is just the schedule of a junior high and high school saint in the church life. I go twice a year to the conferences, and I go every summer to the summer school. No question. No, should I go this year or not? No, just go. Just go. And I hope the parents would just don't even ask. You're going, right? In a good way, you're going. It's just what we do. Right? And every time they go, they come back happy. Yeah. Maybe they murmured a little bit when you signed them up, gave you some reason of they've got this or that on Saturday. But actually, every time they get up there, something gets into them. Yeah. And they come back happy. So here we are. We're going out with the sixth graders. Right? This is their first conference, and they are excited. They are excited to go. And we surely want them all to have a positive, positive experience. I've been to sixth grade, junior high, high school. I have to tell you, the sixth grade conference is, yeah, it's the highlight for me. That's the word. I don't want to say anything. Anyway, it's a real highlight to be there. It's a real privilege to be there. They're like little lambs. They're like blank sheets of paper, just sitting there letting you inscribe Christ onto them. Somewhat I wish we could just keep them there Never let him come back down. Never let him go to junior high or high school. Because they're like little lambs. They're blank sheets of paper. Then you see him just a year later, just 2 years later, after being in junior high. Already you can see just a little hardening, just a little cooling in their attitude towards the Lord. But this coming weekend, we hope all of them are just wide open to the Lord. So Roman numeral 2, what is our function? Our function during the conference is to bear each one of the young ones in constant and persistent prayer and to lead each one to have a definite experience of salvation. So firstly, we're there bearing them, all of them, particularly those in our locality, but also we should bear the entire time and everyone there. We should have much prayer, much prayer. We should have much prayer before we go to the sixth grade conference. Even I hope that this week in the prayer meetings in the local churches here in Southern California, I hope this would be an item of prayer. In our home meetings, this would be an item of prayer. With our vital companions this week, our prayer companions, this would be an item of prayer before we go. We would be full of prayer for this time. But then once we get there, we can't stop praying. We need to all be continually praying from the beginning to the end. Amen. We really need to bear each one this weekend in prayer. And I like these words, constant and persistent prayer. Not just pray Friday night, not just pray in the morning on Saturday and Lord's Day when we'll gather together as the serving ones, but actually throughout the entire weekend, we all need to be praying. We need to have the realization that these children, even though they are children of the saints, they're not born saints. They're all born in sin. They're all little sinners. And they were all born, and I know this may be hard for some parents to hear this, but they were all born under the authority of Satan in his kingdom. And they're all there in darkness. And they all need to, even though they're the children of the saints and the saints are in the light, all of these ones need to get saved. All of them need to be turned from darkness to light. All of them need to come out from under the authority of Satan to God. And even though they're so dear, so precious, we love them. They've been in children's meeting and they've been so good. Actually, some of them have not been so good, right? We have to realize there is a fight for these ones. That's what I'd like us to be impressed with. We should not think that it's a given. We should not think that it's automatic. Oh, these are the children of the saints. We'll take them up there this weekend, and we'll tell them to believe in the Lord, and they'll all stand up and believe in the Lord. No, the enemy will fight. So we need to fight for these ones. We need to fight. How do we fight? We need to pray. Amen. We must pray. Some years we go, and because of the prayer and the effectiveness of the prayer, really, it's so simple. It's so easy. We just share the word. They're so open. You just sense as you're speaking, the word is getting into them. And then when it comes to ask them to receive the Lord, wow, they all want to receive the Lord. And we're, wow, praise the Lord. This is wonderful. Yet, sometimes we go, and even in the first meeting, as we begin to speak, we sense there's a resistance to the word. We can't tell you what's different in the kids. It's not like last year was, you know, the good ones and this year is the not so good ones. It's really just a reminder that there is a fight. There is a matter of two kingdoms here. There is a matter of a transfer from one kingdom to another kingdom. There is a matter of plundering here. There is a matter of one kingdom suffering loss and another kingdom advancing, having the gain. And this is why we have to fight. So I want to really impress us with this, because I feel sometimes we may just kind of show up and kind of just be there and expect that it's all going to be worked out. It's all going to be taken care of. But that's not the case. One of those particular years, Tom and I both sensed there's a real resistance this year. And the first call, we'll see in a little bit, the first call for them to stand up to receive the Lord. Generally, after that, the majority, most, nearly all of them are saved. And typically, there might just be one or two that need a little extra shepherding during the afternoon. But 1 year, we had 17 who had not yet received the Lord. That was by far the biggest number. We really sensed this is a real fight this year, a real fight. And that afternoon, we had a lot of prayer. And that evening, there had to be a specific word, a stronger word spoken. And thank the Lord, by the end of Saturday night, all 17 had stood up to receive the Lord. But that was a real learning for me. Because I realized, wow, this really is a fight. And even though they're all so wonderful, precious little kids, there's a real fight with the enemy. So brothers and sisters, can we go next weekend? Can we go together fighting for them with the prayer? Okay, so we need to pray, but then we need to lead. So we need to pray, and then we need to lead. Lead each one to have a definite experience of the Lord. So there's two words here, the word lead and the word definite. Well, with that experience, definite experience. When we are there, we're not only praying for them, but we need to be full of eyes, the Lord's eyes, watching them, observing them. Seeing who is struggling, seeing who is being touched. And as ones are being touched, we shouldn't just sit there and say, well, thank you, Lord, that they're being touched. They're being touched. Right then, that's the time to lead them to the Lord. And we need to be very keen to go to these ones as we see them being touched and to lead them to have a definite experience of the Lord. We want each one to come back knowing that they had a definite experience of the Lord. Amen. Okay, let's go through these alphas here. A, we need to pray at all times, day and night, for the conference and for the ones under our care. So 1 Timothy 2:1, first of all, right, that prayers, petitions, intercessions be made on behalf of all sixth graders. Amen. Okay, and then that leads us to 1 Timothy 2:4, where our Savior God desires all men to be saved. But first of all, we pray, and then our Savior God can respond to our prayer and carry out His desire, which is to cause all the sixth graders to get saved. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we need to unceasingly pray. We need to be praying on the way up. We need to be praying in the serving one's prayer time. We need to be praying inwardly during the meeting. We need to be always praying through the entire weekend. I hope when you get up there that it's not a weekend away for you. That it's not a weekend where you get up there and, oh, I get to catch up with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so that I haven't seen for so long. But actually, you'll be quite occupied this coming weekend, quite busy with every sixth grader on your heart, and with much prayer before the Lord for each one. B, we need to observe the young people during the meetings and in the group times to see what kind of condition they are in and what kind of response they might have. So not only are we praying, but we're observing. And we're looking to see in whom is the Spirit convicting. During the message, something may be shared, and you'll see that one of them will just kind of bow their head. You realize, oh, they got touched by that. And what's needed is to go up to them after the meeting and ask them, did something touch you? Did something touch you? And maybe they're shy or embarrassed. Then you may have to draw it out from them. You know, I was listening, and I noticed when the speaker said this, I was touched by that. And I noticed, I think you were touched by it. And have them begin to express what they were touched with. Then once you know what they were touched with, then you can lead them how to pray in a very definite, specific way related to what they were touched with. So they can experience the Lord in that aspect or that matter. Amen. C, we need to seek opportunities to shepherd some of the young people personally and privately through private talks. So there may be some that they need just a little walk in the afternoon. They need just a little time just to sit down with them, to have a private talk with them, to see how they're doing, to see what they were touched with. Or if they're apparently not that open, maybe a little high, find out what's bothering them. Maybe something is on their heart. Maybe something's bothering them. Well, someone needs to show an interest in them, a concern in them, and try to open them. Try to get them to open. What is it that may be distracting them or bothering them? These are all wonderful opportunities. And I like this word, seek opportunity. Seek. Even within praying, Lord, give me an opportunity with this one. How about the naughty one that goes? How about the naughty one? Well, that naughty one, we need to ask, Lord, give me an opportunity. How about the good one? How about the one that memorizes all the verses? Well, maybe we're so content that they're so good at memorizing verses, but they need a definite experience of the Lord.
Right.
We need to even, you know, sometimes it's the ones who are good, they're the most difficult ones to help have a definite experience of the Lord. You know, the naughty kids, they know they're naughty, right? They know they're naughty, and they know when you're talking about being a sinner, they know you're talking about them, right? In fact, maybe some of them are wondering, who told them stories about me? Because, right? But it's the good ones. They're the ones we should be most concerned about. Because maybe while we're sharing, speaking about being a sinner and needing a Savior, maybe some of them are sitting there thinking, it's not for me. That's for him. You know, we all know he's talking about the naughty kid. But actually, no, we're talking about you too. So we need to look for ways to shepherd them, to help them realize this is for them. Okay, D, we need to support during the messages by praying for the speaking brothers, for the burden of the message, and for a prevailing gospel atmosphere. As one of the brothers who will have the portion to give the message, and this time Peter will be joining with me. Peter and I, we need your prayers.
Amen.
We really do. We need your support. We need your prayers while we're speaking. We need you to be praying, and we need you to be listening too. Sometimes you help to draw us out. Sometimes we don't like to look at a sixth grader when we're saying something, so we, you know, we make you the naughty one, right? We make you the sinner. It helps. It really does. We need the prayer. And we need you to not only just pray in a general, but pray that the burden could get out. Each time we look to the Lord for a specific burden, because each group is different. And we are very cognizant of the fact that these are sixth graders. They're 11, 12, maybe 13 years of age. And so we want to speak the word to them in a way that they can receive it, that they can receive it. But at the same time that we are speaking it in a way that they can receive it, we want the burden to get across. We want the impact to be there. So we're not up there just, you're a sinner, you need to be saved. If you don't get saved, you're going to the lake of fire. We're not in that way. But in the sense, we want that realization to come across that they are a sinner, and that they need to get saved. So we really need the prayer that the Lord would give us a way to release this. And generally, we do speak about up to an hour, 50 minutes to an hour. But the reason why we're able to speak that long is we're not expounding the Bible to them. We're not giving them lots. We're normally giving them lots of stories, lots of illustrations of the point. Well, we hope that they don't get lost in the story and the illustration and miss the point, right? So that's where we need you all in the cabin times and the group times. You know, sometimes they remember the funny stories, right? But then you need to help them to remember the point, right, of why we shared the funny story, right, about this or that. You know, when I'm there, the Lord makes me be the naughty sixth grader, and I end up telling them lots of stories about me, right, the naughty one. And then afterwards they see me and they come up and, oh, it was so funny when you said this and that, you know. But really, inside, I hope, but did you get the point, right? So, we need to have a strong and released spirit, but not dominating,
Amen.
Especially during the singing times. Okay, this is their first conference. They don't know what to do, right? They're probably so excited because now they got given a hymn book to take, right? Or a psalm book. They have no idea, what do we do in the meetings when we sing, right? They don't know. So we need to be a pattern to them. This is how we sing. We sing with our whole being. We sing with our mouth open. We sing with our lips moving, right? And we sing with the exercise of our spirit. And we draw out their exercise. But not too dominating, right? Not too strong. This is not a serving one, parents' retreat. This is their conference. But we still need to set the pattern for them. So I hope during the singing time, you'd get them all to sing. After we finish singing, they have no idea what to do. So what do? We be a pattern. Let's stand up and let's declare this line together, right? It's really a delight to see them progress over the weekend from the first meeting, kind of, you know, just all excited, looking around. Then they see the pattern of what to do, and then they're like, okay, come on, let's do this. Let's stand up and declare. And eventually, it's almost like everybody's standing up after the song, waiting for their turn to declare a line or a stanza. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But we need to give them the pattern of what to do here. So the other thing, too, which is a delight, is we let them call songs. So we have some hymns that we sing, but they get to call hymns. So they're all excited to be a hymn call. I mean, there's something about, I called a hymn, right? They sang my hymn. And sometimes, right when we finish singing a song, the little boys will jump up, let's sing, you know? They don't even give anyone a chance to overflow, right? So we have to shepherd them. Oh, it's really good. You want to sing that, but let the saints, you know, enjoy this song a little bit, and then you can help them stand up and call their hymn. So the singing time is very important. We all need to be a good pattern to them, okay? F, we need to maintain a rich supply of grace. That's right. By having our own fresh and living contact with the Lord.
Amen.
Right? So don't forget the Lord. Don't forget, come forward to the Lord.
Amen.
Touch the throne of grace this coming weekend.
Amen.
Take care to have your time with the Lord so that when you touch the children, you don't touch them. Right? And when they touch you, they don't really touch you, but they touch grace in you. Right? They touch the enjoyment of the Lord in you. Okay. Okay, Roman numeral 3. Let's read this together. Amen. Oh, our serving. Coordinated, blended. So corporately, we need to be coordinated and blended. And then according to your locality, how you go up, however you're grouped in your locality, or maybe a couple of localities are going together, there needs to be a good coordination and a good blending in the labor this weekend. And in fact, our hearts should be broadened, not just for our sixth grader, but for all the sixth graders. Okay, so A, there is the need for adequate forethought, preparation, and coordination before the conference. And that doesn't mean Friday afternoon at 2 p.m. when you're at the hall. No, but before. One, there needs to be coordination in prayer and prayer in one accord with the other serving ones before the conference. Even ask the whole church to pray for the conference. A, there should be prayer for each young person and serving one attending the conference. There should be prayer and fellowship concerning the assignments of the young people and the serving ones for the small groups. So before you go up, it should be definite. It should be clear which serving ones will be shepherding which sixth graders this weekend, this coming weekend. These things should have been fellowship. Who's the right one? Who's the right one for each one? So this needs to be done in a very blended and coordinated way.
Amen.
C, there should be much prayer. You know, I like this point. There should be much prayer for the coordinating and speaking brothers. Amen. Two, there should be forethought and preparation before leaving for the conference. A, read the rules and regulations with the young people prior to the conference. Do you all have the rules and regulations? Should have gone out, right, with the registration packet. Please, don't ignore that. Please read it, and even read it with the young people. Read it with those who are going prior to the conference. B, saints, this is important. Make sure no one brings any of the prohibited items to the conference. For example, no knives. Why? Because boys or whoever's got the knife can't help but play with them. No electronic devices. No improper clothing. All these things affect the atmosphere. We want a sanctified atmosphere. We want the Lord to sanctify that time from the beginning to the end. We don't want any ground or any room for the evil one. So even this matter of a sanctified atmosphere, it's not just by merely praying, Lord, sanctify this time, but it's also through us sanctifying, separating certain things that would not even be there at the conference center. Because if they're there, then they become a potential for a distraction. And it's so fine, this matter of the gospel. It's so fine concerning the Spirit coming to communicate. The Spirit's like a dove. Not like an eagle that grabs hold. It's like a dove. Sometimes they're convicted. They're so touched. That's the right time. Lead them right then to the Lord. But if there's some distraction, you can see them getting touched. And then the wily one, the enemy, something comes in, some kind of distraction. Now they're not touched. Now they're not so open. So now you have to wait. You have to wait for another time. So we really ask the serving ones, please be vigilant in this matter about what they bring. There are certain things that over time we have learned they are not positive. They do not help the atmosphere. And they actually give the enemy a way to come in and to distract. So, of course, knives. We're going up into the mountains. Boys probably want to bring a knife, but no knives. No electronic devices. Okay. Now, here's a little, and by the way, we have actually modernized this. It used to be something like no cassette tapes, right? Or something like that. But this age that our children are growing up in, it's an electronic age. I mean, from babies, right? They're learning to use iPads and things like that, right? So for them, it's just, that's the world. That's just what they're given to use. But those electronic devices are so distracting. So no cell phones. What's on most cell phones? Games, right? Okay. No iPads, no iPod touches. Why? What's on them? Games. Okay, now some say, well, they have their Bible and their hymnal on it. Forget about it. Forget about it. You bring them one of these good old-fashioned paper Bibles and bring them a good old-fashioned paper. It won't kill them to have a Bible like this and a hymnal like this for a weekend, right? And even tell their parents, no, they need a paper Bible and a paper hymnal. Because even though they say, oh, it's got my Bible and my hymnal on it, it's got a lot of other stuff, right? And they're a kid, they're not going to be able to help themselves, right? Whether they go to the bathroom, right? Or in their sleeping bag, right? They're not going to be able to help themselves. So anyway, I know it's not so easy to do this, but we really ask you, take care of this matter, especially with the electronic devices. Now, I think for phones, sometimes if the parents want them to have a phone, the serving ones keep the phone, right? That way the parents can reach the serving one, or if there's some need, there's a way a phone call can be made, right? Okay. C. Do not bring anyone to the conference that will be a distraction or a problem to the conference. Okay. Our God desires all men to be saved. We do desire that every sixth grader will get saved. But there are some, that have a difficulty in being able to sit in a meeting and have a difficulty in being with groups of people. And they become a distraction to the whole. So we have asked that the serving ones in the localities would exercise much forethought in this matter. And if there is a sixth grader that behaviorally just cannot sit still, cannot be quiet, okay, and cannot get along with other kids, this one, better to not bring them to the sixth grade conference. Does that mean they won't get saved? No. We can still spend time with them, take them out for a Sunday or boba or whatever they go for now, frozen yogurt, right? And still speak the gospel to them. They can still get saved. They can still get baptized. But we don't want these ones to come and be a distraction. Because eventually, if they are a distraction, we will have to ask them to leave. And that's worse. That's worse than them not going, okay? Do you understand? I know it's not that we don't have a heart for them. It's not that we're not burdened for them. But we have to understand we're there for the whole atmosphere in every sixth grader. So, again, we trust you. We're looking to you on this matter. We don't screen anyone, right, prior to coming. We really trust the serving ones on this. But there at the weekend, if someone is being a problem, we may have to ask you to take them out of the meeting. And eventually, if their behavior is so destructive, they may be asked to leave the conference. Okay. Let's go on to D. The transportation needs forethought and planning. All the drivers should be confident, mature drivers who can handle all kinds of weather-related driving conditions. Okay. E. Plan to leave early enough to register at the camp before 7 p.m. on Friday night. To miss or arrive late to the first meeting, is that right? Did I read that right? To miss or arrive late to the first meeting, a great loss to the young people. It is a great loss, right, to the young people. Let's be exercised to get them there in time to have had their dinner. There's no dinner served Friday night, so get them dinner on the way. Get them there by 7 so we can begin the first meeting on time. The gospel begins at the first meeting. We don't want them to miss that. Okay, B, there are some general principles for the small group times. Okay, so there's not only messages, there'll be small group times. One, be exercised in your spirit to be living and vital, not dead and boring. Okay? Not dead and especially not boring. Okay, they're just 11, 12, 13-year-olds. I'll get to what I was going to say in just a minute. Be sensitive to their needs and condition. Do not overburden them. Okay, don't give them long messages. Don't tell them to do this and that. Remember, they're just kids, right? And care for them. They're the object this weekend, okay? Not you, them. Two, be the proper patterns and examples. If the serving ones are touched by the Lord's word in the message, then you know the young people are also touched, right? Because we're looking for the Lord speaking, the anointing. If the anointing touches you, you have to believe that it also touched them. But they're not used to saying, oh, I was touched by that. They probably have no idea. Why did I feel that? What was that? Right? We all know that was the Lord. That was. They have no idea. That may have been the first time that the Spirit convicted them or touched them. So in the small group times, we should learn to bring that out. You know, in the message, that really touched me, or that really, you know, struck home with me when the brother said this, this, and this. How about you? Right? How about you? And see what they were touched with. So be a pattern to them. Okay, three, the cabin time should be a mutual time to support the burden of the message and to help the young people contact the Lord in a definite way. I hope you could underline, contact the Lord in a definite way. And then when we go down to subpoint B, the last word there is goal. What's the goal? That they would contact the Lord in a definite way. What is the point of the cabin time, the group time? To help them contact the Lord in a definite way. A, pray read quickly through the verses for your prayer reading. I know this is contrary to maybe how we may shepherd the high schoolers or college students, right? But remember, they're just young babies, right? They don't know how to pray read, and they're a baby. They don't have that much appetite. So we just want to introduce them to the milk and the word. Excuse me. So just help them to pray read just in a quick way, okay? In a simple way. So no 5 minutes or 10 minutes of prayer reading, just simple. Just they would touch a little bit of the milk that's in the Word. B, read through the ministry reading portion and go through the discussion questions and help them pray simple prayers. Help them pray what? Simple prayers. Do not feel obligated to do everything on the sheet. Use what helps you reach the goal. Saints, what's the goal? In a definite way, not just contact the Lord, but in a definite way, right? So we will have some ministry portions. We will have some questions, but you don't have to read through all the ministry portions. You don't have to answer all the questions. Just use them to reach the goal that they could contact the Lord. Okay, C, do not dominate the time. Brothers and sisters, do not dominate the time, but create an atmosphere of opening. They need to learn how to open. Of opening with the questions or sharing by who? The young people. Okay? So it's not your chance to give the second part of the message. It's not your part to re-speak or to make up what you thought was lacking, but it's to help them. Okay? Learn to open, learn to share. Help them learn to ask a question if they didn't understand something. Okay. D, the serving ones have to be exercised not to dominate, thank you, not to dominate the group time, but in a pleasant way. Oh, I like this. In a pleasant way, draw out the speaking of all those in the group. I really like this word, pleasant. We have to be pleasant with them to draw them out. And you know, we have to have the view. This one is no longer a kid. This one is becoming my young brother or my young sister in the Lord. They should enjoy being with the saints. The saints shouldn't be a teacher to them, right? What kid likes hanging out with teachers, right? They may appreciate their teacher. They may respect their teacher, but do they like spending time with their teacher after school? Not really, right? So we need to become pleasant like a big brother or big sister to them because we want them to enjoy being with the saints. And we need to help draw out, right, the speaking of all those in the group. Four, we have to help the ones in our cabin to go to bed at the scheduled time so they will be fresh. Actually, we need to help all the serving ones go to bed at the scheduled time so that they too will be fresh, right, for the meetings on the following day, right? So they're excited. It's their first time camping out in the mountains together. But we need to help them keep the schedule because there are four meetings, four messages, and we want them to be awake, to be fresh during the entire time. Now, for the latter part here, we'll just go through the four messages and what will happen over the weekend. But let me just share one little practical matter, and that is in the meeting, okay? They're going to be in the meeting, and as the weekend goes on, they're going to get a little more tired and tired, okay? And so we're there to train them, in a sense, to teach them, to be a pattern to them, how to be in the meeting. So we don't encourage them to sleep in the meeting, okay? So we need to help them not to sleep in the meeting, okay? But they should be listening, okay? And then we should encourage them to take notes, okay? So they're going to have an outline, and we should make sure they all have a pen and a pencil, and we should encourage them. If you're touched by anything, if something touches you, just write it down, right? Or underline it or highlight it, okay? Now, what's going to happen when you give a 12-year-old a piece of paper and a pen in 50 minutes? Okay? What's going to happen? They're going to draw, right? Okay, can we all just accept the fact they're going to draw? In fact, who among us draws? Okay, I'm the only one then. Okay. I'm growing out of doodling on my outlines, but they're going to draw, okay? Here's my feeling, and I say my feeling because the brothers can adjust me. If they're there just doodling a little bit on their piece of paper, and it's just them and their piece of paper and a little doodle here or there, don't worry about them, okay? How many times do you tune in and tune out of the message, okay? They're going to tune in and they're going to tune out, but we're praying that they'll at least tune in at the right times, right? But if they tune out a little bit and they draw a flower or a little picture, it's okay. Don't rebuke them, okay? Don't rebuke them. But if they're getting carried away, right, now it's becoming a work of art, it's filling up, you know, then they may just need to be just, hey, let's listen, right? Just something pleasant, gentle, just a reminder. Or sometimes this happens, One of them is a phenomenal artist, and all the kids around are just enthralled by what creation they're producing, masterpiece they're drawing, right? Well, that becomes a distraction, right? No longer is it just them. Now it's those around them. That's where you need the gentle, you know, hey, let's listen, right? And even here, you may need to strategically place yourself, right, where you're seated. You may need to sit between ones. There are some who can't help but talk. You know, they can't go 50 minutes without talking to someone, right? So they need to help them learn not to talk in the meeting. So anyway, we need your help in these things, but we need to do it in a very loving, shepherding way with them. Okay, now let's come to Roman numeral 4, and we'll just go through how the conference will be this weekend. The progression of the conference. Let's read A together. Okay, so Friday night, where are you? We're telling them you're all hiding from God, and you can't hide from God. So if you can't hide from God, then you should seek God. So what is the burden Friday night? To help them all open their heart and to pray a simple prayer. Lord, this weekend, I am here to seek you. Amen. Lord, this weekend, I am here to find you. It would be wonderful if all their hearts could be open this way, and if we could shepherd them to pray a little simple prayer like this. So that is Friday night. Then Saturday morning, let's read B together.
Saturday morning meeting is the first gospel message.
Where are you? Dead in sins.
This message will present the need for redemption. After this message, we will give our first call for salvation, giving them all a chance to respond and receive the Lord.
Good. Then I'll read the subpoints. We will make some arrangement for them to go and pray with a serving one. We want all the young ones to pray personally with a serving one. We even recommend that you pray with them on your knees together. So in this second meeting, we will present to them that they are all sinners. And once they have seen that they are a sinner, then we will present to them the Savior. In this meeting, we actually give them a list of sinful things. And we ask them to go through it first and to check whether they are guilty or not guilty. And most of them start with the not guilty column. I'm not this kind of person. And most of them, right? And the majority of the answers they have is not guilty, not guilty. Then we go through each item and we share a little bit about what this means. And then they ferociously start to erase the not guilty mark and move it over to the guilty. So by the end of the sharing, all of them realize they're in the guilty column. And that's the right time to present the Savior to them. So then we'll ask them, and we do it in this way. We ask them to stand up because this helps them to have a definite experience. If we just in a general way say, okay, now let's all pray a prayer together, then that's just a very general experience. But we want to help them have a definite experience. So we will ask them, we're going to sing a song, and we ask them all, you know, look down or close your eyes. And then we'll ask them, if you want to receive the Lord right now as your Savior to save you from your sins, stand up, stand up. And they will stand up. At that point, you need to be ready to go. All the serving ones need to be ready to go to take them out one by one. So it's good to know ahead of time who will take who out. And if you've got two, know who you will take first, then who you will come back to and take out. And it's good to take them one at a time so that they're not self-conscious. And it becomes, again, their personal experience. So we really ask you, be ready. Don't hesitate. Be ready to go. And take them outside. And find a place nearby. Don't go too far because you may have another one waiting and you can't leave them there waiting too long. Okay? So go nearby. Find a place. And we encourage you to do this. When you're there, ask them, why did you stand up? What was it that made you want to stand up to receive the Lord? In other words, help them to say something specific. Even something more than, I was touched that I'm a sinner. But what were you touched about? And then they may say, I was touched that because I've lied, or because I was disrespectful to my parents. Ah, I tell you, when they say this, this is wonderful. Now you can lead the Savior to them. I mean, lead them to the Savior in this matter, and even help them to pray in a specific way. Lord Jesus, I'm a liar. Lord, forgive me for all my lies. Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and all my lies. Oh, I tell you, they pray this kind of way, it becomes their salvation. They realize he died for their lies. He died for their attitude to their parents. And then end with a little thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have forgiven me of all my sins. Thank you, you forgive me of all my lies. Thank you, you're forgiving me of all my wrong attitudes to my parents. Amen. Then when they stand up, they have this definite realization, wow, I am forgiven. Amen. In this matter, I am forgiven. The Lord has forgiven me. So we really hope they could have this kind of specific, definite experience. And that's why we would ask you, when you take them out, ask them, what was it that touched you? Or what caused, why did you stand up? And help them to say something. Okay? And then use that to be what they would pray for the Lord's salvation. This is a wonderful experience. And of course, if they could do it on their knees, that it really helps them to have the real sense they are repenting before the Lord in this matter. And don't take too long, okay? They don't need a 20-minute thorough repentance and confession, to just a couple of minutes, 2-3 minutes, okay? And then, you know, pat them on the back, say, oh, that was wonderful. You're saved, right? You're forgiven, amen, right? Really strengthen them in their faith. Now, before you go, it's good to know beforehand who has already saved. There may be a good number of them have actually already prayed to receive the Lord, and there's some who haven't. So those who haven't, of course, we help them to pray the first time to receive the Lord as their Savior. For those who have already prayed, when we go out, we help them in the matter of confessing their sins and knowing that through their confessing of their sins, they are forgiven. They are forgiven in that matter. Okay? So don't get in your mind, right, when they stand up, and don't tell them, sit down because you already prayed. No. I mean, how many of us prayed 2 or 3 times, right? Because we weren't quite sure if, you know. So it's okay. I don't think the Lord is that harsh in that matter. So, good. Okay, so we read 1, right? Then 2, we will use the rest of the morning to pray with as many as responded. Saturday morning will be our primary gospel time. We hope by the end of Saturday morning, we have the assurance that everyone is saved. 3, the designated serving ones should be ready to rise quickly and begin to go out with the young people when the call is first given. Parents, you need to have some consideration. Are you the best one to go with your child? In some cases, it may be better a serving one. But anyway, you all need to have this kind of prayer before the Lord, who would be the best one to go with each child. 4, keep good records of your time with the young people. So we'll give you a little card. I don't know if we have a sample here today, but we'll give you a card and we'll fellowship this Saturday morning when we have a little coordination together. After they have prayed, we'd like you just to record, you know, what the experience was, what they were touched with, and the experience that the sixth grader had. It's a delight to read through those. Really is. Okay, C. Okay, how about you read C? In the Saturday night meeting,
we will give our second strong gospel message. Where are you? Without hope in the world. This
right. So if we have some that are not saved, then this is the second message where there will be a call for them to get saved. Generally, the majority have been saved. So we, for this kind of call, we ask kind of right there with the serving ones, you would ask them, do you want to go pray? And then you would just take them out rather than making, you know, 10 or 5 or how many stand up in front of everyone. But again, we'll probably do the same thing, have them all bow their heads, right, and then ask them to stand. But you would quickly take those few that haven't prayed yet out to receive the Lord. And this message is very helpful because it prepares them for when they come back to have their realization about the world and the tide, the current of the age, and that we need to be saved, not to be those that go along with the tide, the current of the age. Okay, let's read D together. Where are you? In the kingdom of God, the church. Right. So this is a wonderful way to end. They're all saved. They've all had a definite experience. Now we send them home to be in the church life.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Just lay before them. What does a normal Christian do? What does a normal brother and sister do? So this is wonderful. Okay, we have just a couple of minutes. Maybe good just to open. Are there any questions that you have? Yes. I think that would be good if they could. Yeah. And a hymnal, yeah, yeah. Yes?
In the prayer with the sixth graders, do we ask them to repeat after us, or do we encourage them to pray on their own, what would be good?
Okay, that's a very good point. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, they've never been to a conference. They don't know anything, okay? So it's always good to give them a pattern. So in most cases, when it's time for them to pray, we pray and have them follow us, right? And so that's why it's good to find out what they were touched with so that we know what to pray, right? We know how to lead them to have a specific prayer. So thank you, Daniel. That's a very good point. Yes?
You mentioned in your speaking to note when they've been touched.
Yes.
But you also mentioned that may be the time to lead them to the Lord. Mm-hmm. How would you say to coordinate that in relation to the time that's the corporate time where we're all getting, just because there might be multiple times that an opportunity may present itself?
Oh, yeah. So for example, Friday night, if they're touched and in the cabin time they're touched,
right.
You don't say, well, then wait till tomorrow morning because tomorrow morning is the time to get saved.
Right.
No, right there,
right?
You got it. Very good point. Right there. You lead them to get saved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you still have a Bible and a hymnal?
Yeah.
Bring it. I think it's good. I bring my Bible and hymnal, and that's what I use. Be a pattern to them. Yeah.
The second thing is the ones that we know are saved, they've had definite, clear experiences.
Right.
Maybe this year, maybe even previous years.
Right. Yes. Yeah, we clarify. Yes. Right. No, okay. So when we make the call, we actually make it very clear there's two ways to respond to the call. The first is if you have not prayed to receive the Lord as your Savior, then we ask you, stand up now to go pray. Then we say, if you have already received the Lord, but you were touched by something and you would like to learn how to confess that to the Lord and have it forgiven, then we encourage you also to stand up, right? So we do give an explanation there. And that's when we need the serving ones to know them and know, you know, which way to lead them. Very good. Yeah. When do they get baptized? We leave that up to the localities. So that's probably one of the things before we go, we should fellowship with the leading brothers. When can we have a baptism? I know in Irvine, we baptize the weekend after. So we go back, we spend a week to go visit them, to prepare them for their baptism, then we invite the church to come and witness their baptisms. But anyway, it's a local matter. Yes.
One thing that's happened in the past is the serving ones need to be a little bit sensitive when they go to another one that's not in their locality to ask them to go outside. Sometimes the sixth graders don't know you.
Right.
And so they're a little afraid to go to the serving one that they don't know.
Right.
So just, you know, ask them first whether you want to go with them or whether they want to go with you or not, whether they want to wait for their serving one to come back. Because, you know, there's not enough of us. So we take half of them out and then we still have, you know, ones that are remaining.
Right. Okay. Okay. And I think it's okay if you want to prepare the sixth graders. You know, you can wait. I'll come back for you, right? And it's okay for them to tell a serving one. And even beforehand, it's most times we've been able to arrange, you know, who we're going to take out. So we know, you know, these are the ones that I'm going to ask. And trainees will be there, but they're just to help when there's a shortage of serving ones. How does it work that you're a parent and not a serving one? Right? If you're a parent, therefore you are a serving one. So, good. Right? Yeah. Well, okay. That is something we realize you have to consider before the Lord. When it comes to leading them to the outside to pray, whether you're the best one to take them out or not. In a lot of cases, it's no problem. But for some kids, they may not want to tell mom, right? That they were a liar or had a bad attitude, right? I mean, eventually they need to go and confess that, right? Declare that. But right there, mom or dad may not be the best one. But before the Lord, we need to have that kind of consideration. Yeah. So there's no policy, no parents leading their kids to pray, or all parents must take their kid out. Okay.
We have one family where they have, the eldest is a sixth grader, but they have two a lot smaller kids. As a result, the parents could not come up to the conference with us. However, the dad has a heart. So he is asking me, on Saturday, can I go in the morning or, you know, just to be with my daughter at that time? Is it okay, and how do I fellowship with him regarding this?
So there's just no way one of the two parents could get released?
Yeah,
okay. I don't know what our policy is about part-time. I think it's full-time, right?
If they can, yeah.
Okay.
Because it gets kind of complicated with... Now, if he's just going to come up for one day and won't need housing?
No housing.
No.
Just meals. Yeah.
He understands he didn't pay for it. And it's not
right.
There.
Right. So he also probably wouldn't be able to eat there at the camp. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just complicates things. But if there isn't any other way that he could come, it would be good to have him up there to go through this with his kids. So, but just understand, our policy is we would prefer to have him come up as, you know, part of the whole thing. But if he can't, in this case, it's okay.
Yeah, there may be circumstances where that can be
worked out.
But we don't want this kind of pattern happening. We're trying to take them away and have a sanctified time. And that begins from Friday night. The Lord does something. We don't want all these parents or saints, well-meaning saints, show up Saturday because they want to be there when that moment happens. That could be distracting. Yeah. Okay, you have a question? No.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
I was confused. I thought you were.
Yeah. So.
Logistically, how many kids are we talking this year?
What's ever? Is it a?
I don't know the up to date count. I think it's supposed to. I don't know. I shouldn't say. It's around 200.
Wow. Yeah, I think it's normally somewhere between 100 and 120 sixth graders, and then, yeah.
Along with the number of kids,
Well, we like to have at least three kids for every serving one. But for this camp, we may need to have a little more help. But, yeah. So, yeah, that's it. And with regards to the parents, although it's not, you know, required that they would come, this is a big time in your child's life. And, you know, I know with me, I will want to come to this time and witness this experience with my daughters. So that's why we don't require it, of course, but we encourage the parents to come with the understanding that now begins your life as a serving one. And so this is the way it'll be, coming to conferences and coming to the meetings and taking care of your new brother and sister.
Amen.
Right, in the Lord.
Right.
Yeah, I think 5 is because the YCAT team doesn't get there till 4. So that even if you get there early, they're not ready to register you. And so, yeah. So, good. Okay, is that all? Well, good. We'll take a little break and
be back here at 11:05.
There's some snacks.